Hi there. Excuse me?
What happened? What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping people like you are going to stop and talk to me. What's your name?
Zubair.
Zubair.
Yes.
Did I pronounce that right? Zubair?
Yes.
I'm Tony.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
What's this for?
Do you have any particular spiritual beliefs, Zubair?
Maybe.
Maybe? Oh, okay. What might those be?
Let
me ask you this. What do you, Zubair, think happens to somebody when they die?
They go to God.
They go to God. Okay. And how does that happen?
Their spirit leaves their body.
Okay.
And it transcends to heaven.
Okay. So do you believe, I'm just trying to ascertain what Zubair believes, and I'm going to share with you what I believe,
uh-huh.
But I don't want to put any words in your mouth, so that's why I'm asking questions.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe everybody goes to heaven?
No.
Okay. So the alternative, based on my beliefs as a Christian, the alternative is hell.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what do you think a person has to do to warrant God sending them to hell?
What do you mean by that?
Well, what kind of crime or offense would be enough for God to say, you don't come into my kingdom, you don't come into heaven, I sentence you to hell?
It would be something like, when the person knows that God doesn't want him to do this,
mm-hmm.
and he does it anyway, and he thinks God is going to forgive him, I think that's wrong.
Okay. All right. What might something like that be? What would God... Murder. Okay. All right. I agree with you. How do you think God defines murder?
I mean, God thinks like we're brother and sister, basically. Adam and Eve, right? Started everything. We're all from one single human race.
Yeah, we're all part of the same human race,
yeah,
yes. Right, we are all interrelated in that way, yes.
So we're basically killing our own kin. That's like the sin itself.
So taking the life of another human being.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's just not right.
I agree with you.
There's no reason to kill a person. I don't see any reason you should be able to kill a person.
Okay. Now, God said in the Bible, whoever you described us as brothers, right, or neighbors, we're all part of the same human race, and I would agree with you. The Bible says whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Have you ever been so angry with someone, Zubair, without saying anything about it, without doing anything, you know, without actually killing somebody, but have you ever hated somebody? You were so angry you thought, you know what, I hate that person, or I despise that person. Ever. Even if you don't know the person, you think of someone who did something awful, and man, I hate that person. I wish I could this, that, or the other. Have you ever been angry without cause? Do you think you've ever been angry in an unrighteous way with someone? Someone cuts you off on the road?
Oh, not that.
No?
That's flip pants.
What's that?
That doesn't bother me. That's
okay. So you're a pretty easygoing guy.
Yeah, the only thing that would bother me when I'm like playing some sport and I'm messing up, I would be angry at myself. That's
okay.
The only time I'd be angry.
Okay.
Like,
all right. Okay. Well, God has written His law on our hearts, and one of those laws is do not murder.
Yeah.
Okay. You and I both know it's wrong to murder. We're different generations. Obviously, I'm 55. You're much younger than that, I could tell. We probably come from different cultures, different ways of life. We're certainly raised by different parents.
Yeah.
But you and I both know it's wrong to murder, not because of how or where or by whom we were raised,
mm-hmm.
but because you and I were both created by the same God, and the God who created us is not a murderer like so many of us can be. Does that make sense? Now, another law that He's written on our heart, given us a conscience, you and I both know it's wrong to lie.
I mean, if there's like a lie to help somebody, like...
Okay, so has every lie you've ever told been a lie to help somebody?
Maybe not.
Okay, alright. Okay.
When I was a kid, I did lie about stealing candy from my mom.
Okay, and so another one of God's laws is do not steal. Right? So whether it's from your mom or a grocery store or from a stranger on the street, an answer on the test, whatever it might be, you've already admitted that you've stolen things.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Probably candy more.
Okay. All right.
Okay. When I was a kid, I kind of like was like not that listening.
Uh-huh.
My mom always used to say, don't eat too much candy, it's going to ruin your teeth.
Okay.
So I would always like sneak one somehow.
And how old are you now?
Now I'm 17.
17, okay. So another one of the commands, the laws that God has written on our heart, is to honor our mother and father. You've just admitted to me that you've failed to do that perfectly, right? You've stolen candy.
Yeah.
Your mom told you not to eat too much. You've ignored that, you know, and you've probably dishonored your parents in other ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever looked at a young woman and had an inappropriate thought, a sexual thought?
No.
Never in your life?
No.
Ever look at a young man and have an inappropriate thought?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, you've already admitted to being a liar, so I'm going to take you at your word, but all right. So here's what you've admitted about yourself. And now everything you've admitted to, I want to assure you I'm guilty of as well.
Okay.
But you've admitted to being a liar and a thief who dishonors his parents. Those are violations of God's law. If you were to die and stand before God today, and he judged you based on that law that he's written on your heart, do you think he'd find you innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
Why would you be innocent, having broken his law?
The reason would be, there's many reasons. First of all, the first reason I would say is, I didn't know those laws when I was a kid. Like, little kids don't know that, so kids are innocent. That's what God never, like, that's what God said. Everyone has to be a child to be in heaven. It's one of the things I read in the Christian Bible.
Well, he says, have the faith of a child.
Have
not not that everyone has to act like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Definitely.
And
so, I mean, like, a child is so pure. Like, he doesn't know what's right or wrong. That's
but Zubair, when you lied to your mother, you knew it was wrong.
Now I know.
Zubair, whenever you've told a lie, you know it was wrong.
When a kid?
Yeah, even a kid, Zubair. Even as a kid. Your youthfulness is not going to exonerate you before God. Because we were all born with a sinful nature. None of us are pure.
No, we're not.
Right? Because, as you mentioned, we all come from Adam.
Yeah.
Right?
And they made a sin too.
That's right. And it's because Adam sinned that you and me and every other human being have inherited that sinful nature.
Yeah.
So by nature, we're going to sin. Now that you're older, think about it. What is one of the first words a little child learns after maybe mama and dada? What's one of the first words a child speaks after maybe mom or dad?
Probably what they learn from watching their parents.
When you're old enough to have children, you're going to find that one of the first words a child learns is the word no.
No.
Yeah, because they begin disobeying and dishonoring their parents from the earliest of age, right?
Yeah.
Look, have you ever seen a baby kick or scream, throw a tantrum? Right? Because they don't get what they want. Boy, you put that mind and that aggression and that hatred into a body your size, and you have a murderer on your hands. Right? The child, you and I started sinning before we can even remember. We started breaking God's law before we can even remember because we were born with that nature. Okay? So the fact that you committed those sins against God when you were little isn't going to exonerate you before God. Time doesn't forgive sin. For instance, let's say I saw you walking down the sidewalk and I waved to you and you're coming towards me and I think nothing of it. I turn back around and next thing I know, I hear my car pulling away. You steal my car. I'm all, what's going on? You stole my car. Years go by. When they find my car burned out, stripped out somewhere, you know, sometime later, they have no idea who stole my car. So years go by. And they're able to lift a fingerprint or find some DNA evidence, right, in my car, and it leads back to you. So you never stole another car after that incident. It was the indiscretion of a young man, a 17-year-old guy, thought, hey, this might be fun to steal a car. You didn't steal another car after that. In fact, you went on to be a model citizen. 20 years later, there's a knock on your door. Zubair? We now have evidence that 20 years ago, you stole Tony's car. Are you innocent because it happened a long time ago?
No.
Are you innocent because it happened when you were young?
No.
Time doesn't forgive sin. So again, if God were to judge you based on the law that he's written on your heart, regardless of when you broke his law, would he find you innocent or guilty?
find another thing for that. I said so innocent because, okay. Because if I admitted to it, then it means I accept my punishment. But if I'm not admitted to it, then I'm not innocent. I'm guilty. Because I know it's wrong and I'm still not accepting it, I'm definitely guilty.
Okay. So here's my answer to that. I was a deputy sheriff in Los Angeles for 20 years before I moved out here to Iowa. Spent a lot of time in courtrooms. Spent a lot of time as an investigator. In fact, I spent years investigating juvenile crime. I spent many an hour inside interrogation rooms with people your age. Okay? And there were times where a young person would admit to their crime and they would write out a confession. With that signed confession in hand, I go to the courtroom and present that to the judge as part of my evidence in the case. Do you think the judge is going to let you go because you admitted to the crime?
No.
Of course not. And so saying you're sorry for breaking God's law, that's not going to exonerate you of breaking God's law. You ought to be sorry because you offended the one that created you. Okay? So time doesn't forgive your sin. Remorse doesn't forgive your sin. So again, innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Okay. And if God were to find you guilty, what should He do with you? Not what you want, but what should He do with you? Heaven or hell?
Okay.
Does that concern you at all?
Yes.
That if you were to die today and God gave you what you deserve for your crimes against Him, no matter how small or how long ago, the punishment would be hell. Does that concern you?
I mean, I have to accept it.
Okay. Okay.
God is my greatest.
Okay.
He's my master.
Does that concern you, though? I mean, is that something you want?
No.
Are you just going to live indifferently and go, hey, I break God's law. Hey, He sends me to hell. No big deal.
No. I'm very focused on God.
So do you have any idea what God did so that Zubair may not have to go to hell for his crimes against God? Do you have any idea what He did?
Send Jesus?
Yeah. So let's go back to the courtroom for a second. Okay? So you're standing before the judge, and you admit to the crime, you confess to the crime, a jury finds you guilty, and the judge looks at you and says, Zubair, because I find you guilty, I sentence you to death. The judge is going to have you escorted into the room next, you know, just off the courtroom, and he's going to have you strapped to a gurney and put to sleep like a stray dog. Lethal injection. But just before that happens, the judge, who found you guilty and sentenced you to die, stands up from behind his bench, takes off his robes of authority, steps down and says, Zubair, you are guilty. You deserve to die. That's the requirements of the law. And I'm going to take your place. I'm going to die so that you can live. The law's going to be satisfied because a life will be taken. But it's not going to be yours, Zubair. It's going to be mine. And the judge walks into the next room. He allows himself to be strapped to that gurney. And he's put to sleep like a stray dog for a crime that you committed. So that you can be set free. What would you think of that judge?
I mean, that's heavy.
Yeah?
A lot heavy. I mean, I don't think it's just right for him to sacrifice for me.
But who gets to make that determination? The judge or the criminal?
The judge.
Yeah. And do you know what sin it is to say, I don't think it's right for the judge to do that for me? Pride. Pride. The Bible says that pride comes before destruction. Do you know why pride is considered such an awful sin in God's eyes?
I mean, a little bit, not a lot.
Well, let me tell you why. So that picture I painted for you in the courtroom was a picture of what Jesus actually did. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, and without sin. He lived a perfect life from cradle to grave for some 33 years, a life that you and I can't live for 33 seconds. You and I are not perfect people, right? We've sinned. We've broken God's law. But at a time appointed before the foundation of the world, a time appointed in eternity past, God the Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, voluntarily went to a Roman cross where He suffered and died a horrific bloody death He did not deserve to take upon himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our crimes against God. And then he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. So back to this issue of pride. The reason why God finds pride so offensive is because God the Son humbled himself to take on human flesh, and then further humbled himself to die a death he did not deserve, so that proud, arrogant people like you and me might live. The reason there are no proud people in heaven is because God humbled himself.
So I was just saying, what should be the right answer to that?
The right answer to what?
The judge. What do you think?
Thank you. Yeah, that's the right answer. The right answer is to receive that gift and to be thankful and love the judge who was willing to die on your behalf. And that's what God commands of us because of what Jesus did on the cross. He commands of us that by faith we turn from our sin, we turn from loving ourselves and loving our sin and justifying our sin, and by faith and by faith alone receive that gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And if God does literally that miraculous work in us, he will literally cause us to be born again, is the way the Bible describes it. Literally born from above. He'll take our heart of stone that's proud and arrogant and sinful and give us a heart of flesh. We'll begin to hate the things that God hates, namely our own sin, and we'll begin to love the things that God loves, namely God himself. And we'll be forgiven for the sins we've committed, not because we're good. We're not good. We've broken God's law. Not because of anything we've done to earn or deserve that gift, just like you standing before the judge. What you earned was death for your crime. You didn't earn life, right? The judge gave you life. And that's what God does for sinful people like you and me when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Instead of giving us what we deserve, which is death for our sin, he gives us what we don't deserve, which is grace, mercy, forgiveness for our sin, and the assurance of eternal life with him in heaven. Again, not on the basis of anything we did, but on the basis of what God did through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Does that make sense?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah? So, what are you going to do with that, Zubair, now that you have that information? Because you're going to die someday. I hope you live another 80, 90 years and have a long, healthy, happy, prosperous life.
Thank you.
The reality is, though, you may not make it home. Right? I mean, you could go through an intersection on a green light, and someone going the other way is texting and don't know the light's red, and it's over. Right? People get distracted, you know, sometimes just driving around this corner. It's a very tight corner. They could be texting, not see me standing there, come up over the curb, and I'm done. Right? It's not a scare tactic. It's the reality of the world we live in. 160,000 people, estimate, die every day on planet Earth. And most of them don't wake up that morning saying, you know what, I think I'll die today. Right? And so the Bible says that now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. If you believe what I'm telling you is true, then turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ for your salvation. He'll save you. He'll forgive your sin, and you will be reconciled to him forever. That's the good news of the gospel. So where do you go to school?
Oh, Assumption.
I'm sorry?
Assumption, right here.
Oh, Assumption, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Catholic school.
Yeah.
So is this for me?
Yeah, that is for you, of course, yes, yeah. And, you know, if you were ever interested in visiting our church, all of the information's on the back. We're a Reformed Baptist church out off of West Kimberly, past Walmart.
I see.
And, let's see. All I know is you're Zubair. But that's me.
Sorry.
And if you have any questions about what we've talked about, or if you would even like to sit down, grab a cup of coffee, open the Bible, and talk about it. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'd be happy to help you find the answers.
Thank you very much.
God bless you, Zubair. Thanks for stopping. I appreciate it.
It's no problem.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what it was. It's just curious. I was just passing by, and you got my attention for some reason.
Well, you know what, Zubair? I wasn't necessarily planning on being out here today. You know, I had other things that I was going to do. I believe the God who created us is sovereign, He's in control of everything. There's a reason why I came out here today. There's a reason why you stopped. And it was for you to hear the gospel. And my hope is that you'll believe it and God would save you.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
All right. God bless you. Be careful. All righty.